What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Word. I am joined with Manny Montreal. Wanted to introduce him to you guys. And Manny, thanks for joining. Appreciate you coming on.
Very cool, man. I'm very happy to be able to share what I think.
Appreciate it. Yeah. And Manny, just if you want to quickly kind of let everyone know, my followers kind of know a little background on yourself. Obviously, you know, you've been covering and, you know, around the sport for many years. You know, you got a strong base in Canada, obviously.
Yeah. It's been about 10 years now that I started out hanging out around gyms and stuff. And then all my friends are fighters and stuff. So, you know, it was kind of like a natural progression. And I myself never being actually good enough for any of it. You know, I did stuff for other fighters just, you know, to help out. And it kind of snowballed from there. You know, I write, I take pictures, I do videos, I do podcasts, I give my opinion a lot. Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I'd say the last 10 years, I'm mainly based out of Montreal, Canada, hence the name Manny Montreal. So I highlight mainly fighters from here, fighters from Canada. Although I talk about it all, I obviously watch it all.
And that's what I'm, you know, really excited for you to touch on tonight and for all the viewers to listen in, because we got an expert from Montreal, Canada, and I want you to fill us in on who are some young guys or just anyone you have your eye on that's, you know, on the rise that people in the States should be aware of and, you know, check out.
So, just to fix a little something, I don't know about, expert, maybe idiot savant, but, super. You know, I'm definitely well-versed in what's going on here. And as far as fighters, I'm very lucky to come from a fight town. Boxing is very big here. You know, we fill up our stadiums and stuff when before COVID. You know, we regularly get Showtime. We get The Zone. We get all the major shows come here. And we've been lucky enough to have a few fighters make it to the big stage. I'd say there's a good crop. There's a couple guys under 25 years old right now that, you know, within the next 3-4 years are going to make a splash. There's even some guys that are still kind of in the mix. This weekend, there's a super lightweight tournament going down in here in Quebec. It's available on punchinggrace.com. Sorry, I got to do the plug.
Yeah, no problem.
Punchinggrace.com. So, point is, it's a super lightweight tournament. Eve Ulysses, who's with Golden Boy as well. Steve Claggett, which if your viewers don't know, go look him up on BoxRec. Just a dog, if ever there was a dog. The guy's never had a fight that was not entertaining. Every fight he's ever been in. He's had a few big names. Eve Ulysses, maybe the more marquee name as far as doing stuff in the game. There's two other guys, David Theroux and Metzer Germain, guys that are locally from here, guys with really good records. We're talking right now, there's three minor titles in play, WBC Francophone, an NABF, and an NABO title. At the end of this little tournament that they got going on, obviously there's going to be all the straps and a brand new ranking for one of these fighters. So hopefully we'll have another guy break the top 15 at 140 pounds. One guy that fights from here that's not originally from here that I would suggest looking into is Batir Jukumbayev, originally from Kazakhstan. We've got a pretty good crop of Kazakhs and Russians here that have, you know, boosted the boxing scene, so to speak. Batir is definitely a very interesting super lightweight. If you go look in the rankings right now, he's peppered in there pretty much everywhere, you know, 8, 7 here, 15 over there. But definitely a guy to keep your eye on. You know, he's fought for those titles I just mentioned. So he's just at that point now where he's going to start breaking into some bigger fights. You guys might start hearing of. There is a couple of other Russians. I would, Sadreddin Akhmedov. The kid's, pretty much every fight he's ever had is a beautiful highlight. If you're looking for something devastating, fast, and just flamboyant, there's your ticket. As far as Russians go, he's a Kazakh as well. I'm sorry. But as far as Kazakhs go, they're not very flamboyant. And this kid likes to put a little panache on everything. He's a very good looking guy too. He's not afraid of being out there, so to speak. Sadruddin Akhmedov, they called him the soldier of Kazakhstan, another Kazakh. But if I could do a couple Canadian kids.
Yeah.
A guy that just made his pro debut that I'm very high on. His name's Luis Santana. As far as an amateur background, he was doing very well. I think if the COVID and everything else wouldn't have panned out, you probably would have seen him in the Olympics.
Is he a Canadian born?
Yeah. And just a fantastic fighter. 140 pounds again. Another guy I would look into, we'll go back to Russians. This time he's from the same place as Beterbiev and Khabib. Dagestan.
Dagestan, yeah.
So Arslanbek Mahmudov. Okay, so they call him the Lion. He's about 6'9". Again, a walking highlight reel. He's with Golden Boy as well. They just recently signed him. Super interesting. He punches well with both hands. He's got good footwork. He's awkward because of that size, you know, but he knows how to play with that awkwardness. He's easily going to be in the top 10 within the next year. And I think within the next 2 or 3 years, going to be trying for a world title. There is no other path but the fast track for that man.
Wow. So you think he's on the fast track for the world title? He's really that?
Yeah, no, I've been lucky enough to see a few heavyweights. You know, here in Montreal, we got to see Tyson Fury a long time ago, way before a lot of you did. And honestly, I've seen a lot of special heavyweights, Kaboom Rivas, and, you know, we've had guys come down here for sparring, which I also got to watch in person. When I see a heavyweight, he is ambidextrous, without a doubt. So if there's a little kamuffle or whatever, he switches. He's like an overgrown Lomachenko. I know it sounds kind of funny, but it's for him to have the understanding. He's got a really crazy amateur background. And then on top of that, in Russia, they got like a semi-pro league. So it's like all guys that are 18 to 20 years old and all guys that are at the end of their careers. So it doesn't count on your pro record, but nonetheless. So he's actually fought a couple names in Russia already. If you look him up on BoxRec, Arslanbek Mahmudov, definitely an interesting fighter.
Awesome. Well, guys, everyone make sure to go check that out. I'm very interested in him now. 6'9". I mean, the heavyweights, they just seem to get bigger and bigger. And he's a switch hitter. You know, speaking of switch hitters, last week, you got one more thing to say about him.
Yeah, sorry. He's 11-0 with 11 KOs right now.
That'll work.
6'6". I'm sorry. I just wanted to confirm.
Okay.
But like Tyson Fury is the only thing that really put me in awe. Seeing him dance around the ring and shit, because that is the equivalent of watching an elephant tippy-toe, right?
Yeah.
So Mahmudov kind of gave him the same vibe.
Wow. I'm going to have to go check him out after this interview. I'm very intrigued, and I'm sure all the people listening are as well. But, you know, when you mentioned that he's a switch hitter as well, I mean, it just made me think immediately of Terrence Crawford. Obviously, he fought, you know, the other week in a tremendous fight. Well, I should say tremendous fight on his end. It wasn't a very competitive, although it was actually in the first round, there was some interesting moments in terms of maybe Kell Brook was having a little success with the jab, but I mean, Terrence Crawford, I mean, that dude is a bad, bad dude. I mean, he looked unbelievable. He's a switch hitter. And I don't know what's next for him. You know, hopefully it's the winner of Danny Garcia and Errol Spence. That would be a dream. And, you know, maybe it could be the brawl in Montreal round two, for the welterweight title. That would be something, right? But what do you think is next on for the welterweights, like with Terrence Crawford kind of waiting in the wings now?
Well, look, I think with Bob's recent comments and Eddie Hearn and
you want to elaborate on that too.
Eddie Hearn and Dana White both, you know, throwing Bob to the curb, so to speak. It's funny because I think in the same position, they would do the fucking same thing. That's the truth, right? Because Dana's not exactly known for treating his fighters well and paying them well. So he should stay quiet. And then Eddie doesn't have the best relationship with his fighters. Often when they, even when they see him, often when you see Eddie be all friendly and chummy with a fighter, not long after you'll hear bullshit of other having issues. No relationship with a promoter is easy, but when your promoter talks bad about you like that publicly, it's hard to take back and it's hard to forget.
Yeah.
And Bud, although I don't think he reacts on his feelings, I do think he is a deeply emotional and thinking man. And I guarantee you it's not going to be good between the two of them.
Yeah, now, I don't see that relationship lasting.
Luckily, there's a whole crop of guys that, you know, don't seem to be complaining about their promoter. And I mean, PBC and Al Haymon would maybe be the way for him to go. Claiming he's not an American star, to be fair, selling a boxer altogether, I don't care where he's from, is difficult. Okay. We're going to pour a little truth on here, a little more truth for everybody. Selling a black athlete is increasingly difficult. You know, he's from a very tight-knit community, and they're very much used to that. And, you know, but it's trying to sell it to the everyday guy that thought Conor McGregor was going to do something against Mayweather. Right? For those people, they're the ones that they pay the $80 for a pay-per-view. Right? So, I mean.
But in fairness to, you know, I agree with a lot of what you just said, 100%. But I will say, Terrence Crawford seems like he hasn't done a whole lot outside of the ring to help himself. Not saying that that's his job, but.
Hold on. I want to say this to you. Like what? Getting into gunfights? Getting into.
As far as
black athletes go, right? Other than Jameel Herring being a.
No, I'm talking about just from a promotional standpoint.
Yeah, no, but even then, I'm saying he's a family man. He's comical. He's out there in four wheelers. If you go look at his Instagram,
I do think he has a good personality. That's what I'm saying is, like, I wish it just doesn't seem like he's doing a lot of interviews or getting himself out there a lot. You know, I don't know what the behind the scenes looks like if he's presented with these options and he's not doing them, or he's just not getting the opportunities. I don't know. But
I'll tell you like this. I've been on the other side trying to get fighters interviews, right? Where I call up people and I'm thinking they're going to be so excited. I got this guy willing to do interviews. He never does interviews. This, and you're definitely going to want to talk to him, right? And sure enough, you'll make your 10 phone calls and 9 out of 10 will be like, oh, well, what's he got going on? Does he have a fight? Is there news? No, there's no news. Well, he just bought a gym and he wanted to talk about it and they don't want to hear it. You understand? And especially here in Quebec and Canada, I feel it a bit more. You know, being black, you're a minority, obviously. And even some of my white fighters, just boxing in general, trying to sell boxing to somebody, you'll hear things like, oh, well, the sport's too violent. It's like, you know, there's very cliche things that are attached to the sport, regardless of which fighter it is. Now, we're talking about a guy that's undefeated. We're talking about a guy that's got a championship belt. We're talking about a guy with a decent smile. We're talking about a guy that's more or less comical. But I think you got to put him in those situations. I'll give you an example. I guarantee you, if he would have called Akin Barak on the zone, they would have had him in a minute. However, would Bob be okay with him going over to the zone to do an interview with Akin Barak?
Probably not. Yeah, that's the...
So who's Bob got that he can really say, okay, well, these people are okay? Dan Rayfield? you get what I'm trying to say? There is, the list is very short. And on the ESPN feed, I mean, you got Tim Bradley and you got Andre Ward, but they're not media types. You know, they're not going to be like, yeah, let's do an interview on Instagram. That's not what Andre Ward does, right? So it's to these TV stations and these people that have to come to him, essentially. Because you'll go out there and you'll call everybody when you think you got something and you'll quickly find out nobody cares, right? So when that happens once or twice, and I'm sure it's happened to them, right? They don't want to do it anymore. I'll give you another one. I got a fighter this week. He's fighting in the tournament, Eve Ulysses, the guy I got to win the whole thing. And his coach is John Scully. I don't know if you know the man, but hell of a coach. He's from New Hampshire. Fantastic background. Look him up. But he had another fight with a fighter in Florida. And because of the quarantine here with coming across the border, he would have had to have been locked down for 14 days. The overlap was no good. In the newspaper, they printed that his coach didn't want to come. Now, it's already written. Even if the guy, you call him up and you want him to retract it and everything, that athlete no longer wants to speak to that newspaper.
Right.
You understand? So I'm pretty sure on the Bud's front, on top of having guys across the way he can't talk to, I'm sure there's a few guys that he can talk to where he's like, I don't like that dude's energy. I don't like the way that guy wrote about me the last time. Did you see that guy's tweet? They know this shit. They remember.
Right. Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, I hope, hopefully that gets better for Bud because he's a huge talent and obviously, you know, has a massive star potential. They got some decent views on the ESPN showing. I know they said it was a little over 2 million people watching at its highest point. So hopefully he grabs some new fans and, you know, that fight with Errol Spence, hopefully that happens. Hopefully things will look better for Terrence in the future. But Manny, thanks for, coming on. And everyone, make sure to go check out all the fighters that he mentioned. I'm the most interested, I got to say, about the heavyweight from Dagestan, 6'6", 11-0, 11 knockouts. Another guy to add into the heavyweight pot, which is, increasingly interesting to me. Every week, it seems like there's, so many guys fighting at the heels of the champs currently. So Manny, thanks a lot. If you want to let everyone know, where to follow you or what you got going on. I know you do the live boxing chat on Sundays and let them know where to follow you.
So not really on YouTube, but I do have a YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Manny Montreal. And like you said, I every Sunday night, 10 p.m., talking boxing live on IG, and then I replay it on IG and Facebook, so you can catch it at a later time.
Awesome, guys. Thanks. This is Word.